In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of all the saints, most of whom we don't know the name of. Today also happens to be the feast of the Venerable Bede of Wearmouth and Jarrow, and most of you probably don't know who that is either, even though his name actually is on the calendar. But St. Bede was a very important history in the history of the English Church, which had about 1,000 years worth of Orthodox history before they fell away with the rest of the West into heresy and schism. But St. Bede was born long before that point in time. He was born in 673. His name, from what I could find, is related to the word bid, which means to command. So you can hear bid, how that would be a possibility. And there's some indication that he may have come from a noble family. You might think, well, if someone gave their kid up at 7, maybe it was a really poor family. But wealthy families often did that kind of thing too. It was considered to be a pious thing for you to have someone in your family who became a monk or a priest. And that's true even in the Orthodox Church. I was told in the Holy Land by one of the nuns that runs our convent that it used to be the case that you'd have a Palestinian Orthodox family that would come to the convent with a bunch of kids, and they'd tell the nuns, pick one. And it would be up to the nuns to decide which one. Now, obviously, we don't force people to become monastics, but that would at least be the family's wishes expressed, through the choice of the nuns. This monastery became a very important center of learning. There was the bishop and the abbot was Bishop Benedict Biscop, and he was known for traveling frequently to Rome, and he would often come back with a lot of written text. And so he established what became one of the largest libraries, certainly in England, but maybe even in Western Europe outside of Rome. And he also attracted many good teachers. And so St. Bede had the opportunity to learn from a very early age. And so he learned Latin, he learned Greek. I'm not sure what other languages he knew aside from Anglo-Saxon, but he was a very gifted and intelligent young man. There's an incident that from the life of St. Ceolfrith, who was the assistant and then later the successor to Bishop Benedict Biscop. But in this life, it talks about how a plague swept through the monastery in 686, taking most of the monks who sang on the choir for the church services. Only the abbot and a young boy remained, a young boy that was raised and educated by him. And so he and this young man were able to keep the services going until they were able to attract more monks and get more monks who were taught how to sing. And he's described as having later become a priest at the same monastery and has admirable deeds both verbally and in writing to all who desire to learn them. And so this is most likely a reference without naming who it was, St. Bede. He became the greatest scholar in Western Europe, without any question. And here, England was not the great empire that it later became. So you might be surprised that somewhere in the Northumbria region of England, there would be this great scholar. But things just came together, and this was a golden age of the Anglo-Saxon Church prior to the Vikings coming and really sending things into what could be maybe somewhat legitimately described as a dark age. So this is a unique period in time. He became a deacon at the age of 19, which is below the canonical age, but he was made a priest at exactly 30, which is the canonical age. So probably they needed a deacon badly. When it's time to make him a priest, they waited until the canons say he should have been ordained. Most of his writings consist of biblical commentaries, but he also wrote scientific texts and many historical texts. The reason why we consider this to be the year 2026 is in due large part because of St. Bede's influence, because he's the one that popularized that way of reckoning the years in the West. If you've been in our Bible study, you've probably heard me quote St. Bede pretty frequently because his commentaries are very insightful, and I found them to be very useful. But I was first exposed to St. Bede because when I was looking into Orthodoxy, and then not long after I actually joined it, I was reading everything I could get my hands on. And so at some point, I can't remember if it was before I converted or after, but I read Eusebius's History of the Church, which he lived through the last great persecution of the church and then into the period when Constantine had legalized Christianity. Didn't make it the official religion, contrary to what you hear on YouTube. He just made it legal. But Eusebius was an eyewitness to many of the things he talked about, and his history is very useful if you want to have an understanding of what the early church was like. But when I read St. Bede's History of the Church and People of England, it was like a continuation of Eusebius, and also there were many things I noticed that were very similar. To me, as I was learning about Orthodoxy, he was describing an Orthodox people in England. You know, I have a very mixed ancestry, but quite a bit of my ancestry is from the British Isles, and a good chunk of that is English. And so to know that my ancestors were Orthodox at one time is significant to me. Now, maybe you don't have any English ancestry, and so you might say, why should I care about this guy? Well, he's had a great influence on the history of the church, but the thing is, most of you speak English, and St. Bede had a big influence on the culture that brought you this language. And so, not to say that he gets all the blame for the things that happened after the schism, but the good things that you can still find in English culture, he contributed to. He died on this day in the year 735, so that was 1,291 years ago. He was at the time dictating a translation of the Gospel of John into Anglo-Saxon, which shows that the church at that time was not like the medieval Catholic Church, which banned translations into vernacular languages. He was translating the Gospel of John into Anglo-Saxon, which was the common language of the people. But he was getting very close to death and increasingly weak. And at the very end, they were having to encourage him to help them get this finished before he died. And finally, the person that was writing down as he was dictating the translation said, "Dear Master, there is one sentence left unfinished." And Bede said, "Very well, write it down." And then he gave him that last sentence. And the monk said, "It is finished now." St. Bede said, "You have spoken truly, it is well finished." Then he asked this person to raise him up so his head could see the church where he used to pray. And after chanting glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit to its ending, St. Bede fell asleep in the Lord whom he had loved. This is a man who throughout his life never traveled more than about 100 miles away from the place that he was born, and yet he has had a great deal of influence, much of it unknown to most people, but the influence is there nevertheless. And the point of the feast today is that we have a great cloud of witnesses, as we heard about in the epistle, but it's our responsibility to become part of that great cloud of witnesses. And you might say, what could I do? How could I possibly become a saint? We're all called to be saints. If you want to go to heaven, you want to be a saint, because without holiness no man shall see the Lord, the St. Paul tells us in the Epistle to the Hebrews. That's what we're all called to. Maybe you won't have an icon painted of you ever. Maybe you'll never have your name added to the calendar, but you can become a saint, and in some small way, maybe unnoticed to most people, you can help advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we all need to strive to do. Amen.